This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's May 8th, 2019, and we are here and on the air live. You're welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She is flying herself back from Florida right now. I hope she's flapping her arms hard. Anyway, she will be arriving for next week's show, so we should hear her then. This is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, please call 860-486-9487 or email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or if you're listening to this on podcast, you can send me an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org or on iTunes. I'm going to take back that call in because I'm here all by myself today. So if you wouldn't mind, we'll keep the phones clear as far as that goes. And I'm going to start out with Ron's rant of the week. Okay. Consider your fellow riders. This is kind of an interesting subject. It's one that I do preach often. I will admit that I definitely am a little preachy on this, but I think it's really important if you're going to be an ambassador to the sport or to what you love the most. I think it's really, really important that you consider your fellow riders. So I'm not talking about waving at people when they're coming by the other way or reaching out your, you know, motorized vehicle and waving to them. Although those are both very, very nice things to do. And I think those are good ambassador things to recognize the other person who's out on their bike. But anybody can wave. There's no major substance behind it, but I'm a waver. I'll admit it. My good friend Amber Pierce taught me about the wave. She does a lot of waving. So I just think it's a good thing. But really what truly matters out there is when your fellow cyclists need you. This might mean stopping during your commute on your long-awaited leisure ride or on your long-awaited leisure ride to offer assistance to a fellow rider who has dropped a chain or incurred a flat tire. Yeah, you might be a little late, you know, but you might also get your hands a little dirty. This is funny. I saw this comment. It said the sort of people who drop chains usually have filthy drivetrains. We'll talk about that another time. Nonetheless, if you are even a meager mechanic yourself, you never know what you might have in your saddlebag or maybe in your car that you might be able to help a stranded rider who perhaps doesn't have the know-how and lacks the tools to implement it. So the rant is, don't just pass by someone who's pulled over on the side of the road and just assume that they can handle everything themselves. Ask. Be sure that you check in with them and try to help them. This is a serious, serious form of ambassadorship, and it's definitely something you should be paying attention to. Further discussion on this show and this particular topic, you can address on my Facebook page, Bicycle Talk. Let me know how you feel about this. On a positive side, for the third week in a row, I bring this back up again because I think it's really important. The Team 26 arrived in Pittsburgh, and that I thought that it would be a good thing to just shout out to them about and to anybody who's interested in that. They went to the synagogue, the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, and that's where they ended their journey this year. This is important stuff. It's all about gun violence. And yes, as I'm speaking, there has been yet more gun violence in the U.S., and it's really sad and unfortunate. But Team 26 is taking the lead by using their cycling and their recognition to what they're doing from all the way back at Sandy Hook to this point. And I give them just a really big shout out because I'm very, very encouraged by their activities and their positive ideas about trying to get people informed about what's good in the world and good in cycling in general. Okay, we're going to so big shout out to Team 26. You guys are awesome. You just like, you know, you've totally caught my attention, and I hope you've caught the attention of many others too. The Maintenance Minute. Okay, we're going to go over some things. We always go over some things that seem somewhat repetitious here, but I like to go over it just because there's a lot of things that people are unaware of. I found this one on an information page, and this was good rules of thumb, the top nine good rules of thumb as far as just general rules of cycling and maintenance. Number one, never loan your tools to a friend. That's kind of funny. We used to have a loan policy at the bicycle shop, and I was pretty good about letting certain people have tools. And, you know, actually, we were pretty good about it in general. We weren't real big on letting them take them anywhere outside of the confounds of the store. But, you know, we would definitely, if somebody needed something, we would certainly help them out, especially if they were in true need. So we would do that. But I thought that was funny. It says never loan tools to friends. I guess you don't get them back if you do that. That must be at least what this person thought. Number two, if it's threaded, grease it. Yeah, grease is good. Grease is really still good. It's still a good substance. It still works really well. You can get it in either the good old paste form, as you would see in a tube or in a container. You can also get a spray-oriented grease, too. If you look around, you might find something like that. You can just, you know, it comes out real fine and then turns into grease afterwards, which is kind of cool. You can't properly adjust a bicycle that is dirty and not lubricated. So that was number three. Yeah, if you're going to work on a bike, clean it up first. Clean it up. Get things at least clean to the point where you can see what you're working on. I've seen some atrocious bikes. I was in the bicycle industry for 43 years and owned a shop for 15 of those years, worked in other shops for 3 years before that. And I can tell you, there's some pretty poorly maintained bicycles out there. But, you know, that's why bicycle shops exist, and that's why they're there to help you. Number four, perfect the art of changing a flat. No excuses. There are no excuses here, by the way, folks. No excuses. If you don't know how to change a flat tire and you ride your bike a lot, you have to look back at this. I said this to a friend of mine, and she said, but, you know, I don't know how to change the tire on my car. And I says, what do you do when you get a flat tire in your car? She said, I call AAA. Which you can do now on your bicycle. If you're a AAA member, you can actually get them to come out and help you with your bicycle. I'm not sure at what level membership you have to be at for that, but yeah, AAA will call on you with your bicycle problems. But I find it better to just, you know, learn how to fix a flat. I've done thousands of them because of the years of being in the bicycle industry. And of course, you know, after you do thousands of them, you can almost do them in your sleep. Not that I would want to. Number six, measure twice, then cut, especially if you're working on a bike with a steer tube or an integrated seat post or something like that. This is, of course, this is a little higher than Mechanics 101. It's a little bit deeper into it, but you always do that. That's a standard rule of thumb with almost anything that you're working on. Measure twice, then cut. Okay, number seven, when disassembling something, keep track of the order in which you remove parts. It takes the mystery out of putting it back together. And this is kind of a cool thing, and I certainly have done this when I'm working on things that are less familiar with me. If I'm working on something on, let's say, a car or taking apart an electronic device or something, because I'm not really overly afraid to take things apart due to the fact that I was brought up doing that. So my dad was an automobile mechanic, and you fix things. That's what you did. So the best way to do this is to line things up. I used to like to line things up on the bench. So I would just, in the order I took them off, I would put them in order from left to right. And I knew that as I was putting things back together again, I would work from right to left until things went back to where they were. So that's kind of an easy rule of thumb there. Definitely works well for that sort of thing. Number eight, check your tire pressure before every ride, especially if you're running tubeless tires, by the way. I know a lot of people have gone to tubeless tires recently. I was with a friend of mine last night. Shout out to Bruce, who was raving about the feel of the tubeless tire over what he has been traditionally riding on. And there's a big difference, but you do have to check your tire pressure every time you ride your bike. Make sure it's there, because there can be some leakage with tubeless tires, although they're not supposed to, but you know, you should always check. And also, if you're running a tube tire and you're running it with a latex tube, you definitely want to check your tires every single time, because the latex tubes leach out and you will lose pressure overnight with those. And number nine on the list, this is the last one on the list here, the three most important tools to have on a ride: a multi-tool with a chain breaker, a pump or CO2, and a patch kit or a tube, or maybe both. So anyway, that's my maintenance minute for this week. A few things that they seem like they're fairly common sense, but you know what? If you're new to cycling and you're new to the Bicycle Talk podcast and you're listening to this, then you might want to just go over these things. So those are nine good reasons that are they're good rules of thumb for when you're riding your bike. Okay, it's Bike Month. Yay, Bike Month. It's May. It's still Bike Month. It will be Bike Month all through the month of May. And remember that there's lots of cool stuff going on, including Bike to Work Week and Bike to Work Day, which those are also coming up very soon. So we're getting closer and closer on those. We're getting very close to the Ride of Silence, which is also falling right into the middle of that week. And we are looking at May 13th through the 19th. That's next week, folks. It's coming on strong. So anyway, this is definitely something to pay attention to. It's a way to introduce you to cycling to work and to understanding that your bicycle is not necessarily just a recreational vehicle, something that you are using for your fitness, and or maybe you're racing your bike and it's just a machine of which to train on and all that. Hey, you ever ride your bike to work? It's kind of cool, actually. You know, you just change your frame of mind. Everything changes. Slow it down, gear yourself down a little bit. You're going to be carrying some extra things on your bike. You don't need to show up, you know, extremely soaked and sweaty like you just did, you know, a time trialed interval into work. You don't need to do that. Just chill out. Enjoy the day. Say hi to people along the way. You know, just take it. Reset your brain, okay? Because bicycle commuting is a big deal. And if you're looking for base miles because you are one of those super uber competitive types, then, you know, treat it as really low-key base miles, which are helpful. They're very, very helpful. You know, rest is really, really important. And so resting for people who ride their bikes all the time may just mean not necessarily taking time off the bike, but taking time at a much lower level on the bike. So let's look at that. You know, 40% of all trips in the U.S. are less than 2 miles, making the bicycle a feasible and fun way to get to work. With increased interest in healthy, sustainable, economic transportation options, it's not surprising that between 2000 and 2013, the number of bicycle commuters in the U.S. grew by more than 62%. How would you like to be one of those? I think you should do that. So check that out. See what you think. You really do feel like special when you do it, because you feel like you really, really accomplished something, which is cool. Is totally cool. The number of cyclists, it's growing from coast to coast. The National Household Travel Survey showed that the number of trips made by bicycle in the U.S. more than doubled from 1.7 billion in 2001 to 4 billion in 2009. So that just kind of gives you an idea of how this all works. But that Bicycle to Work Week, that Bicycle to Work Day, when you make that commitment to it, now you're talking about you're really talking about learning more about it, and it might just be the thing that sets you apart and gets you to the point where you go, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to commit to this. And you don't have to commit to every day. You can commit to a couple of days a week. Maybe it's just one day a week as you get started. Always trying to push the whole idea during Bike Month, because this is the time that we open the discussion to this. It's the beginning of the discussion. It should go on for a long time, but it's definitely it's a good kickoff month to put it there. So another little piece that came up, I was reading through some information here, and your car commute ups the odds of dying young. How about that? Maybe that'll make you think twice about riding your bicycle to work. People tell me, oh my gosh, though, but you're out there with all those cars and it's so dangerous. And well, guess what? It's a lot more dangerous to sit behind the four doors of your car with the four wheels underneath it. And basically what you're doing is you're increasing your exposure to issues that could happen. And when you do it on the bicycle, you get to look at other options, like finding roads with less traffic. So therefore, you lower your possibilities of having a problem. You may also be fortunate enough to be in an infrastructure that has really focused on paying attention to putting in proper bicycle routes. Maybe they're separate from the roads, which would be like tremendous if you can find those. We're seeing more and more of those pop up. It's happening around here. It's definitely an item that is drawing more and more people's attention to getting out and riding their bike. I spoke to a gentleman yesterday, and he was he's actually a coworker, and I was talking to him, and he said that he's thinking very seriously about on the days arranging his appointments for work that are close to his home, all on like the same day, and then using a bicycle to get from one to the other, and they're all very close to his home. So he's thinking maybe he wants to do it with a bike, and then he's starting to be concerned about the idea that maybe he might get a little too sweaty because, you know, it's summer, and well, it's not summer yet, but we're getting there. They tell us one day it will be. So I mentioned to him about the growth of e-bicycles, electric assist bicycles. And that's a way that you can commute around and you can do your job, which in his case is a sales route. He can do it from his home and he can do it around town and not show up, too sweaty and not presentable for what he's trying to do. And it's really, you turn a lot of eyes when you do it. When you show up on your bike and you do this, people go, wow, how far did you have to ride to do that? And you go, well, actually, I live 5 miles from here, so it wasn't really that far. And my next appointment is, 3 miles away, and my following one is going to be 10 miles out. And, those numbers all add up, but it's not as hard as people make it seem. The hardest obstacle that you have when you're considering commuting on your bicycle is considering commuting on your bicycle. Okay, that is your number one obstacle. It's you telling yourself, I can or cannot do this. The answer is always, I can. And the I can'ts are just an excuse. So, your bicycle is a great way to look at this. The negative effects of sitting at a desk all day. Oh, my God. Have you been reading? Oh, it's awful. It's awful. Now people are doing standing desks. I know they have them right here at WHUS. There's standing desks over in our main office. And I see them up and down as the day goes on. So you can, get up and do your work and sit down and do your work. It's kind of cool. But really, what about riding your bike to work and then working with your sitting and standing desk? That's kind of a neat idea. And then at the end of the day, this is the best part. At the end of the day, you go, oh my God, what a hard day. I'm exhausted. I'm mentally spent because it was a really difficult time. And you are, you're basically not feeling like, oh, now I got to get on my bike and I got to ride home. Oh, why did I do this? You get on your bike, you ride the first 2 miles and you go, this is so much better. Because you detox. You get away from the work. You turn the brain off from work much, much better than getting into an automobile where now you are sitting in traffic going nowhere. And you look over to your right or you look across the way to your left. And what do you see? You see somebody just tooling along on their bicycle, going way faster than you are in your car, sitting in the parking lot on the highway. And it's, wouldn't you rather be that person? You're already headed in the right direction. So, you know, the best part really at the, is at the end of the day when you really think you don't have it anymore to do and it's like, wow, this is great. You start warming up as you get deeper into it. It takes me a good, you know, 5 or more miles, sometimes 10 miles to get myself warmed up on my bike. That's just me. We're all different. And yet again, if you're not going super hard, it really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how warmed up you are or what, you know, what condition you're in at that point. So here's an interesting piece. Uber and Lyft. Anybody out there use Uber or Lyft? Hey, they're on strike. How about that? And this is the deal. Today's the day. Okay. It's Wednesday, May 8th, 2019. And the Uber and Lyft strikers are on strike across the country. Because they're feeling like they're not being compensated well enough for what they're doing, and they're not able to cover their expenses, so they're having a little discussion with the powers that be, and they're putting themselves on strike. Interesting thing is, and I was just really surprised. I saw this. I think I saw this on the news last night. I could not believe how many people use Uber and Lyft to commute to work, and they just call an Uber and they hop in and they let them deal with the traffic and drive them to work, and that's how they commute. So they don't use their cars anymore and they let somebody else do it for them. Well, you know, that same person could be riding a bicycle to work. Think about this. You know, they really could. So this is now the time to think, because thank you, Uber and Lyft drivers, for striking. You have now inspired many, many riders to get out, or people who own bicycles to get out and just ride their bike in instead and see just how easy it can be. So anyway, this is a happening thing. It is happening today from what I heard. I haven't heard anything since. And I believe that that this is ongoing. So we'll see how long it lasts, but I'm hoping it lasts for at least a week or two. That would be cool, wouldn't it? I'm sure it's not if you use Uber and Lyft all the time. I'm so sorry if I'm offending anyone. But think about it. You got a bike. It's sitting there. It's very sad. It's got a big sad face on it because it hasn't seen the light of day for a while. It needs a little dusting off, a little air in the tires. And all of a sudden, as you put the air in the tires, you can watch the smile on the front of the bicycle come into shape. It starts smiling back at you. And maybe you'll even get a wink if it's flirting with you. But anyway, get that bike out. The heck with the Uber. The heck with Lyft. Let's ride your bike. So I look at everything as an opportunity. And this is an opportunity which I think is just asking to happen. Now, if you're in a city, you're going to find that the bike share bikes are in a lot of the cities, and you may be able to take advantage of one of those, which would be super if you could pull that off. But I would say that those are going to be at a premium right now because of this particular situation. But anyway, Uber and Lyft, they're on strike. Good for bicycles. Really, really good for bicycles. Okay, how about if you're an employer? Okay, and you are thinking, well, you know, I'm starting to read an awful lot about this, how it lowers people's risk of heart disease, how when people come to work, they come to work energized, not all tired out, how the performance levels of the employee are much greater, and I can get more out of my employee by encouraging them to ride their bicycles to work instead of them driving in. I can also lower my insurance premiums for healthcare if I have a more healthy clientele and staff. If you're an employer who is paying attention to this and looking and watching and seeing what's going on out there, it's time to take a really serious look at this, because this is good for your business. This is good for your employees. This is good for your communication with the employees. And it's time to move into the 2Ks is what I like to call the after we hit the year 2000. Time to move into the 2Ks and do something about this, because it's only going to benefit your business. And if you look at it from a business person standpoint, and you're not looking at it in any other way, then at least I can get your attention by looking at it as being good for your business and your bottom line, which is extremely important when you own a business. So how do I get my employees to bike to work? And, you know, you can probably do a sweep through your database and you can figure out just how many of your employees are within a 10-mile range of your business. You're going to be surprised at how many there are. 10 miles is so incredibly achievable. 5 miles, even more so. Think about that. If you can do that, and maybe even come up with, you know, not necessarily a list of names, because you don't want to shout anyone out or point them out in front of the other employees. That's not correct to do. But you could pull up. Let's take something like, since I'm right here in the state of Connecticut, we have a very large insurance industry. We also have an aircraft industry in the state, and they employ tens of thousands of employees. So maybe you do a little sweep of your database and see how many of those employees live within 5 miles of work. What if you find out it's like 2,000? What if you find out within 10 miles of work, the number goes up to 4,000 or 5,000? These are just the numbers to throw out there and say, hey, we happen to notice that X number of you live within this area of where work is, and we'd like to encourage you to ride to work because it's a great thing. May is bike month. This is the time to promote this. This is the time to really put this out there. And so you're using this as a tool to get them to, you know, make the move, make the next step. Maybe they'll only do it one day a week. Maybe they'll do it twice. Maybe they'll get hooked. That's the hope, is that they get hooked on it. Once they get hooked on it, the person that's sitting next to them at work is going to hear all about it. I promise you this. They will hear all about it to the point where they don't want to hear it anymore, maybe. Or maybe they'll go, you know what? I can't believe the difference in the attitude and the energy of my coworker. Maybe I should give this a try. It really made a huge difference in this person. And then they'll be encouraged to give it a try. So this is important stuff. All you're going to get out of this is positive. It really is going to be a good thing. So how do I get them to do it? Well, that's where we walk into some ideas that you can use that might get people more interested in riding their bike to work. You know, If you're the type of business that is into building teamwork, and a lot of corporations are into teamwork and enthusiasm and trying to get everybody, you know, playing on the same team, and they sometimes will go and they'll rent some place like a laser tag place or whatever to get everybody to go out and work and cooperate with one another, and they use it as a team builder. Okay, so if you're one of those types of businesses, you're already looking for ways to motivate your employees and to get them to work together. So why don't you use some other ideas as how to do it? Why don't you set yourself up with a commuting challenge? Okay. And the commuting challenge can be very, very simple. I commuted to work today on my bicycle. And you got a checkbox for it. Or I commuted to work today on my bicycle twice this week. Now you have two check boxes. Okay. Or maybe you did it all week long, and there's always going to be that one, you know, you're going to have to deal with that. That's there's always one person is going to blow everybody else away, but you know, you can deal with it. But encourage everyone, so that if you are in even the least bit involved, if you're just doing it one day a week, you want to make sure that they get something from it. You want to make sure that they get recognition is always good, but you know, specialty prizes are always good. If you got a little something you want to do, maybe you get free coffee on Fridays. I don't know. Maybe you already have free coffee at work. Who knows? I'm just picking around to try to find things. It might be a little, you know, maybe a ditty bag with the name of the business on it, or just a small ditty bag that said, I bike to work. And then you can put your company logo on there. You can use this as a tax write-off. This is a good thing. And your employees will feel good because they're being recognized in more ways than one. So make a game. Put a map together. Put a map out that has a big circle that comes in from all the different directions, and have people, you know, look at ways that they can ride their bike into work, and try to encourage them to use the less traveled routes. If you go on to certain sites, I'm a big user of a site called Ride with GPS, and I publish a lot of my, well, I publish everything that I do, I publish on that, so I can share it with people. I think it's something that's important to give back to my community. But if you've got a better way of coming in from X town, which is 5 miles away from work, and you found a much safer way to do it than to hop on the, you know, the state road with the big numbers and the high traffic count and all that, if you found that better way to do that, then publish it and share it. Share it with your coworkers. Say, hey, the first time I did this, I came straight down Route 5 out of Windsor and headed into Hartford. And boy, that was just not good. And, you know, so then I went and discovered some back roads and went over here and did this and did that. I added one more mile onto my route, but there were no cars. So, you know, publish this information. Make sure it's available to everyone. Maybe you want to set up a blog post at work that has people who commute to work by other means than using their automobiles are all able to access. So you can give, you can work on a lot of different things. You can put a template together on a spreadsheet. You can put it out on something that's saved, like a Google Doc or something like that. And then people can record on that. And that's the thing. You want everybody to type in their ride that day and how many, how far it was, how long it took them. You can break it down. You can break that spreadsheet down in any way you want. You can set up, and this is a really simple thing to do, contact the local bicycle shop, and they are a wealth of knowledge. Let them teach you how to commute to work. Maybe you can have a special meeting where, you know, we're going to have Bob from XYZ Cycles, and he's going to come in, he's going to talk to you about commuting and the basic 101. And after we get done doing this, then Bob is going to take us out for a short 5 mile loop from work, and we're going to ride around. We're going to kind of get to see how this all works. And, you know, talk to your local bike shops, talk to your local bicycle advocacy groups. We have Bike Walk CT right here in Connecticut. You can talk to them, and they will be able to help you out with that. Got some great, if you're in the Hartford area, there's a lot of resources around there. But if you're in any town whatsoever where there is a bike shop, you will find the resources that you need. Maybe you make the big bike to work day extra special by having a rest stop partway in. So people that are coming in from a distance have a place to stop and fill a water bottle and just kind of hang out with their friends. Get some of the other coworkers at work to volunteer for this, and then they can be there and they can be helping hand out food and drink, and they get to also experience this, and they get to see exactly how it works, and maybe they want to become a part of it in the future. These are all really good things to think about. Good ways to motivate your employees to come in. Big motivator, I'll say it now, I'll say it again. Boy, if you have a shower at work, it sure helps a lot. And, you know, if this gets crazy, what could the worst case scenario be? The worst case scenario could be that you have to put in a couple more showers at work. Maybe you have to build a locker room around your business. It's not a terrible thing. It's actually a really good thing, because the productivity that you get out of the employee because they rode their bike to work is going to more than pay for the expense that you're putting into the promotion of riding your bicycle to work. So employers, pay attention here. This is a good thing. This is something that you can capitalize on this. And the interesting thing about it is you're going to end up getting results from people without asking for it. It's just going to happen. So you're going to end up getting positive results. You're going to see your bottom line get better. You're going to see the efficiency of your employee get better. And all it's going to mean is a bonus in the employer's pocket. So now you've got, let's say you've got 2%, maybe 1%. Let's be realistic here. Of your employees doing this, and you notice a change right away. You notice a change in maybe it's a particular department, and they're all into it, and so they all ride in together. And then you start seeing some major positive results coming out of that department. You just it is somewhat infectious. It really is. It's very, very cool. And people get into it, and now they'll want to wear that club jersey because they're members of the Bike to Work Club. Maybe you can form a Bike to Work Club around it. It's all about building up people to want to do what you need them to do, to make it more fun to go to work, to make it more fun to go home afterwards, and gives them something really positive to talk about during the day. So Bike to Work Day, Bike to Work Week, it's Bike to Work Month. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking a lot about this and how to encourage it and encouragement ideas. You can basically come up with a number of ways of dealing with it. Maybe you have a situation at work, and I know not everybody has this, but maybe there's a situation where you are you're dealing with a parking issue. And the parking issue is, very, very simply, if you take a look at a very, very large parking lot, everybody wants to be as close to the building as possible, right? Well, why don't you take the top 10 parking spaces that are next to the building and take them away and make them into bicycle parking stations only. You want to turn some heads? There's a good way to do it. Take a look at that idea. So when you ride your bike into work, you get to go park right next to the building, and you don't have to walk from all the way down the other end of the parking lot. Not that that's not a good thing, because that's a healthy thing too, but it gives you the advantage of you're special. You have a priority. You have priority parking because of that. That's a good thing. Maybe you don't need to take those spaces away. Instead, what you need to do is you need to create spaces that are directly linked to the building. Maybe they're inside of an enclosed area so that your bicycles are safe and kept dry all day long and out of the weather. You know, there can be things that you could do to make it really encouraging to your employer, to your employee when they're riding their bikes in. A bike pool. This is kind of a cool thing. And you know, this goes back to, this is a shout out to my friend Richard Fries, who was riding his bicycle into Boston. I think he had like a 10-mile commute he was riding into Boston. And he did it every day because he is one of those that does it every day. He is one of those guys where everybody looks and goes, oh, man, he's riding his bike all the time. Okay, I wish I could do that. Don't wish, do. Okay, don't wish, do. So what happened? We had a crisis where the price of gas went through the ceiling, and we of the cycling world and alternative commuting world are not at all upset by high gas prices. Well, maybe we are to a certain degree, but you know what? We know that there's an answer. Well, Richard told me, you know, he would be riding in, he'd use the same route every day, be riding in, and occasionally he'd pick somebody up and they would ride together, and then occasionally he'd pick somebody else up and they'd all ride in and they'd chit-chat while they were riding in, and then somebody would spin off to the right and spin off to the left because they were heading off to their workplaces. And he said when the price of gas went over $4 a gallon, all of a sudden people started showing up and riding in. And what people would do, and this is a really, really cool thing, they would wait for the group to come by. Because when you wait for the group to come by, now the group gets bigger. And then you pick up another person. Maybe it's three blocks down. Maybe it's a half a mile down. And you pick up another person. Now they're in the group. And everybody just rides together. You don't ride competitively. You ride like you're commuting. You just turn the pedals, chit-chat with one another, wake up slowly, you know, just do what you have to do. But you create a bicycle pool. So it's like a riding pool, and you're going to just grab people as you go along. And as you got, Richard told me when he got closer into the center of the city, said, you know, this person would fade off this way and this one would fade off that way. But he said the best part about it, and this is really, really important, is it was way safer to be in that crowd of people than it was to just be out there by yourself. And that the cars, because they were looking at the fact that they were paying an awful lot of money for their gasoline, they were looking and going, wow, maybe I should try this. It's just a great way to promote the whole idea. Another thing that you can do is maybe you could find a celebrity in the area that would come one day, one particular day, to ride in with your group. Maybe it's part of your bike pool group, and you get somebody that shows up that might be a local radio celebrity, TV celebrity. Hey, maybe it's Peddlin' Ron from Bicycle Talk. I would do that. It would be fun. Anyway, do that, and maybe people will ride in that way. Find a buddy to ride in with. Bike Buddy, the Bike Buddy program. Find someone who is near you, and you can meet up with them at a certain hour of the morning and come in together so that you have a little bit more safety involved because there's two of you instead of just yourself. So there's a lot of different things you can do to promote the whole bike to work thing. And this is what I wanted to talk about today because I think it's really important. There are so many things going on right now. Bike to School Day is today, May 8th, by the way. If you didn't know about that, you can check that out on the bikewalkct.org website. It's listed there. It's kind of late for that right now, but we do have Bike to Work Week, May 13th through the 17th, that's next week, and May 17th, that Friday, is National Bike to Work Day. So this is why I'm mentioning all these things. There's going to be a celebration hosted by Bike Walk CT at the Old State House, 800 Main Street in Hartford. That's between 7 and 9 a.m. There will be food there. There will be exhibitors there. You can enjoy a free breakfast on the house for doing this. The event starts at 7. At 8 o'clock, there's a few words to celebrate the day. And at 9 o'clock, the event ends. Enjoy your day. There is, on Friday, May 17th, a happy hour meetup after work, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Hog River Brewing Company on Park Street in Hartford. So you can find out about all these things if you just check out bikewalkct.org. There's also a ride out of East Hartford. There's one out of Farmington. There's one from Glastonbury. There's one in Simsbury, in South Windsor, West Hartford again here. It's just growing. And if you just keep checking the site, you'll see all these places that are promoting the whole Bike to Work Week, Bike to Work Day. So that brings us to a point where we're getting deeper into the show. And I am going to cut the show off a little short here today because I have to go pick up the lovely Dr. Fran Storch at the airport, and hopefully she flew in safely and is waiting for me there. But I did want to point out a couple of things before I get to the very end here. Remember, the Giro d'Italia starts May 11th and goes through June 2nd. So we are so close to the Giro. I can't wait. It starts this weekend. It's a big deal. It's one of the most watched bicycle races of the year. Giro's my personal favorite because of the intensity of the race, the time of year it is. There's just a lot of crazy stuff to watch. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the future as we go on. Next week, I have a special guest coming on, we will be talking about autonomous vehicles and what it means to be dealing with autonomous vehicles in and around the world of cycling and pedestrian use. So we have some concern about this. Mike and I have had a number of email exchanges about it, and next week I'm bringing him on board with me, and we're going to chat about it. If you have any information to add to that, please contact Bicycle Talk, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. If you're from the automobile industry, I've reached out to a few. I haven't gotten any responses back. You guys afraid of us? Don't be afraid of us. Talk to us. Give me a shout out. Bicycle Talk, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Let's talk about autonomous vehicles. I'm a little in the dark about them. I need to be enlightened. I would like your information. Next week, autonomous vehicles and cycling. Now, moving on. Today, Wednesday, May 8th, 2019, from 1 to 2 p.m., there is an online connection to the Great American Rail Trail. It's a celebration of the Great American Rail Trail, and you can find it live on Facebook or at the website for the Rails to Trails website. So you might want to check that out. That's pretty cool. Coming up on May 11th, that would be this weekend, this Saturday, you get to meet your good old friend, Peddlin' Ron. I will be doing a little MC for Southbridge Bicycles Grand Reopening, which is a public event. It's in Southbridge, Massachusetts. John and the crew have just relocated themselves to a different building, and they're putting on a big celebration, starting out with a ride and in the morning before everything really gets going. And you can find out more about that on Facebook at Southbridge Bicycles. Check that out. I will be up there chit-chatting with people, getting to know more people, and spreading the good word of cycling. Remember, the CCAP Tuesday night Criterium Series is on in East Hartford. It started on May 7th, and that would have been last night, and it is at Rentschler Field in Hartford. Save the date, Saturday, May 11th. You can also do another CCAP event called the Breakaway Event. It's their cornerstone community fundraising event. You can even, if you can't make it there, you can even sponsor a rider, and if you can, if you can't be there. There's lots of ways to get involved in that. Remember, the Connecticut Masters Games are coming up, and they will start on May 15th, or actually the deadline for registration is May 15th, so it'll be starting shortly after that. Same day, May 15th, the Ride of Silence. This is an international Ride of Silence. And that will be going on at 7 p.m. in a number of different places. And I do have someone I have to get back to about that out in Danielson, who's running one of these rides. So keep your eyes peeled on that one, maybe on the Facebook page or elsewhere if you're looking. So that is a Ride of Silence, and that means nobody talks. Everybody rides really slow together in memory of people that have not made it while riding their bicycles. So, and usually have had a problem with a motorized vehicle. May 19th, the Tour de Lyme in East Lyme, Connecticut. You can check them out on Facebook. That is a public event. It's hosted by the Tour de Lyme. On June 9th, the Wethersfield Bicycle Show, Swap Meet and Festival at Wethersfield High School. Once again, this is a Facebook connection, so go there and you can check that out. On Saturday, June 15th, it's the Ride Around the Quabbin, the King's Tour of the Quabbin. Saturday, June 15th, 2019, not much traffic, plenty of hills, and it's not a race, but it is a cool thing. I have done it before. The League Cycling Instructor Seminar, League of American Wheelmen, at the Center of Latino Progress in Hartford, Friday, July 19th through July 21st, through the Sunday. It's a nationwide bicycle instructor certification program. And on July 28th, the Major Taylor Hill Climb in Worcester, Massachusetts, very cool thing. It's on the George Street Challenge. It is not very long at all, but boy, is it steep. It's where Major Taylor proved himself back in the 1890s. And that is basically the end of my calendar at this time. So we are going to sign off here. My name is Peddlin' Ron. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my lovely co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you have a comment and you'd like to contribute information to the show or even be on the show as a guest, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Peddlin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.